You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. We're going to welcome you to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor with myself, DJ Ambush, and Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How you doing this week, Doc?
And I am doing well. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's recording day. I'm doing well. And the sun is shining. Cannot complain.
Definitely cannot complain.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Same. Another Wednesday, getting together. You know, it's always great sharing information, getting the updated stats and stuff from you. The weather is good. Gearing up, getting some events done. You know, I have a party. So by the time our audience hear this, I would have had a party Thursday at the Dome down at Pioneer Square. We're doing a lot of activations down there. I need to reach out to our partners at Maltco about coming out and doing some vaccinations, because vaccinations are still an issue, people. We still need to get vaccines out to people. I got a party tomorrow that I totally forgot about until like 2 hours ago. Someone mentioned to me, so what time are we setting up tomorrow? And I'm like, for what? you're in Pioneer Square tomorrow, Ambush. Oh, right. That.
So, yeah. Yeah, let's take this opportunity to get people vaccinated, you know, and boosted. And
absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to reach out to them and give them a full schedule and say, hey, join us out there. But we're always thankful for y'all tuning in. We just had a little discussion before we started recording about how close we are to our 50th episode. That is wild. That's really wild that we've been at this for so long. We're at 50 episodes. I don't know. We got to do something big for the 50th episode. I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's 5 episodes away. So
Yeah.
We got to come up with something wild.
Maybe do something in person. Maybe we record the 50th episode in person. Maybe we do that, like a live podcast session.
I like that.
Okay. All right. So there it is. 50th episode. We've decided it. We just had a production meeting. You guys were a part of it. for the 50th episode, we're going to do an in-person live recording, and we'll have a studio audience. So if you are interested in being a part of the studio audience for that episode, definitely reach out to us at The Numbers. You can hit us at info@thenumbers.fm. Or podcast@thenumbers.fm, or a comment anywhere you see this on social media. And when you share it, tag us, because we can get you on that list. All right. Okay. We didn't really plan that, but yeah. So this week we're discussing mental wellness and behavioral health. Throughout the pandemic, I have sometimes found it hard to cope. What are some of the ways COVID-19 has affected our mental health?
Man, so many people have experienced significant mental duress right from this pandemic. The isolation that we had to endure took a toll on not just our economy, but people's well-being, people's mental well-being. So we've seen a lot of people complain of significant increases in depression and anxiety and other mental health illnesses. So, and we've also seen this documented in studies, right? There was a big VA study with about 155,000 people that, and this was at the VA, of course, that showed about people who had had COVID-19 were 39%, almost 40% more likely to be diagnosed with depression, and about 35% more likely to be diagnosed with anxiety. So this really took a toll on people's lives. This really impacted people, not just physically, but also mentally. So we have to pay attention to those things. Going back to that idea of being we are relational beings, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to take care of each other. We have to find community, right? Find those things that protect us. And being in community protects oneself.
What does this mean, though, for like our overall, the overall community's mental health? I mean, there are certain things that happen. The pandemic definitely is a prime example of what we're discussing right now. That can trigger mental health issues. So now, in some cases, we are having people that are newly diagnosed, are newly evaluated, coming across maybe depression or anxiety or different things they weren't experiencing before. What does that mean for the greater community that maybe now more of us are exhibiting, are struggling with mental health issues that we didn't, you know, we didn't prior to this?
You know, it's huge, right? It's about how it impacts, you know, the individual, right? And it also is about how it impacts the community as a whole and every aspect of the community, right? We talk about, you know, our economic well-being, our societal well-being, and all those things, right? You find less people participating in community events because they're experiencing social anxiety, because they're experiencing generalized anxiety. You find people not participating in things that they used to, like going to their houses of worship because they're experiencing significant depression, right? You find people's health declining at a faster rate because they're experiencing significant mental health issues. So it's a big issue that we have to pay attention to. And I'm really glad that the federal government and our state government are focusing in a lot on mental health and the importance of, you know, ensuring that we're funding mental health at the same level that we're funding physical health. Yes, it'll take a while before our state and our federal partners catch up to the same, providing the same resources for mental health as they do for physical health.
What suggestions would you have for anyone that may be new to experiencing different levels of different degrees of a mental health crisis? Someone that may not think they're experiencing mental health because this isn't clearly defined for them, or maybe just think, you know, just I'm just in a mood. What advice would you have for those people?
You know, so now that I'm in this space, right? I working at Cascadia Behavioral Health, I can see the need that we experience in the state, in Portland and in the state and in the country as well. What I see over and over again is that people don't know, people can't identify, people have not that they can't identify, people have a hard time owning up to, hey, I'm having a mental health issue. Especially guys, and especially guys of color, Black folks, right? We don't talk about, you know, hey, you know, I'm depressed, or I have anxiety, or, you know, whatever it is. We try to sweep it under the rug. Oh, no, you know, it's all right. I'll just, you know, just knock down a few more beers, or, you know, I'll just, you know, smoke a little bit more pot, or whatever it is, right? That people use to cope with whatever stressful situation they're having. So what are some things that people can do, going back to your question? So you can reach out to a psychiatrist. You can reach out to the best place to go would be reaching out to your primary care provider, who will then put you in touch with the services that you need. So that's one place to start off. You can also reach out for behavioral health services by calling the mental health call center. That number will be available at the end of this show. To go along with this show, it's 503-988-4888. So you call that number, you get the resources that you need, mental health resources that you need. There's also a directory available online for mental health and substance use disorders. That's readily available to use to with information that people can figure out how to access these resources. I say all these things, and as soon as I say it, but I recognize that we're putting the onus on folks to reach out, to get, to remember their phone numbers, to remember the websites. And that's a, that can be a lot for some people when they're going through a mental health crisis, right? So what I'll say is reach out to your primary care provider, who will then activate the necessary system to ensure that you get the help that you need.
Excellent. Are you aware, or I'm sure there have been, but are you aware of any studies, any recent studies that have discussed the increase in mental health diagnosis, either nationally or locally?
Yeah, so, you know, I like that question because there was a JAMA study that came out, I believe, sometime last year, talking about the significant increase in mental health diagnosis in the last 10 years. Comparing 2000 to 2000, comparing the time period 2000 to 2010 versus 2011 to 2020. And what we saw was a threefold increase in mental health diagnosis. That's a lot, yeah. Right? Yes, maybe we have better tools, or maybe there are more people engaging in primary care services or in services where they're seeking help. And that's why we're seeing more diagnosis. But at the very least, we're seeing a significant increase in the number of cases. And so we need to take that seriously. We need to push our federal funders to say, hey, you need to prioritize this. You need to take care of this because it affects everybody, right? It affects every single individual, whether we recognize it or not. It affects all of us.
Right. You mentioned something a little bit earlier about how members of our community, especially Black men, have an aversion to dealing with our mental health. There is that stigmatization about, you know, it's something being wrong with you and, you know, not really being able to address it and, quote unquote, fix it in the way that seems, one, a quick answer and doesn't rely on some outside help. With the increase of diagnosis that have been happening, what do you think are some of the key factors to some of us becoming more comfortable having these discussions and being able to see that we may have an issue? I know for myself, I'm coming across more and more people that are communicating that they deal with anxiety. And I do know that, well, in my experience rather, the more clear we are about definitions of what these different mental health illnesses or struggles are, the easier it is for us to find ourselves in those situations. But yeah, what are some of the things that you think are contributing to people becoming more more easily diagnosed or just seeing themselves?
I love that question because at the heart of it is, what are we doing as a society to? Mm-hmm. What are we doing as a society to make sure to bring these issues to the forefront? I think the most important thing we can do is talk about it. Simply talking about it and talking about recognizing that it happens to everybody, and we all need help, whatever help we need. I mean, people laughed at Kanye West when he talked about his mental health issues, but I think him coming to the forefront and saying, hey, this is what I have and this is what I'm dealing with, made it normal for other people to say, you know what? Yeah, I do have these issues. I do recognize that in myself. And people begin to seek help. We talked about this when we were talking about COVID-19 vaccines, right? Mm-hmm. And the more people talked about their vaccine stories, the more normal it was for people to get vaccinated, right? And once we hit that threshold of 55% or so, people saying, you know what, I've been vaccinated and nothing, I didn't turn into a dragon.
or 5G tower.
Yeah. Right. So it became normal for everybody else to say, oh, you know what, maybe I should, if my uncle did it, maybe I should do it. If my brother did it, then maybe I should do it as well. And so from 55% to about 70%, that number went up so quickly because it was now the norm. It's the same thing here. We need to talk about what's happening in our communities. We need to talk about, hey, if you have an issue, if you are comfortable sharing your story, share your story so that other people can become more comfortable sharing their stories. Then the other thing that I'll say is, man, look at what's happening to especially downtown Portland. It's happening in the rest of the country, right?
Yeah.
We're seeing significantly more people experiencing houselessness. And not to say that everybody who's experiencing houselessness has a mental illness, but this has highlighted the need to address mental health issues.
Yeah.
Because a lot of folks on the streets, a lot of people who are experiencing houselessness have mental issues, have mental health diseases. So if we don't take it seriously, guess what? We're only going to put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, and that is not going to solve any problem.
And that relationship is really interesting in the way that, sure, a mental health illness or crisis could have led to the houselessness.
Yeah.
But then one could have developed out of being houseless.
Yeah, that stress, right? That
right.
stress of not being housed, not having a roof over your head is tremendous.
Yeah.
And it can lead people to then develop issues that they probably didn't have prior to experiencing houselessness. It's we now talk about social determinants of health, right? That is a very good example.
Yeah.
Right? If our healthcare system is not taking care of having a roof over your head, then it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, right? Because if that's impacting your health, then if we don't address it, we're not addressing the root cause of your health issues.
Yeah. You said something a little bit earlier that I think I didn't articulate it to myself that way, but the understanding that for me, that helped me kind of be more patient with everyone is also having the understanding that it happens to everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's not the previous stigma, the old stigma that if you have a mental health issue that you're broken, you know, and that you're beyond repair. Like, you know, we used to use the word crazy and insane all the time. And those are words that we used to throw people away once they had that designation.
And that's harmful, right?
Yeah, it's very harmful. It's harmful to the people that we're describing. It's harmful to the people who may be cautious about getting help because they don't want to be thrown away as well.
Yeah.
It does happen to everyone. Everyone is going through some level of stress. If they can look at stress as a primary source for any other ailment that can be attributed, especially when we're talking about mental health. Now, sure, we've all been stressed. We've all experienced anxiety. We've all experienced depression and many other things. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean that you're beyond repair. And it's definitely not the end of the world.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you bring up something very interesting, right? When someone has diabetes, we don't stigmatize them.
Right.
When someone has a heart attack, we don't stigmatize them, right? We don't call them names. We don't, you know, castigate them. No, we don't.
Right.
It's the same process. When you have a mental health condition, a mental health illness, then it's as simple as that. It's a biochemical abnormality within the brain that is similar to a biochemical abnormality within your body, your physical body that leads to whatever diabetes or heart attacks or strokes, you name it, right?
Yeah.
So we should look at it like that, and we should treat it as such.
And that is a new explanation that I received, that I was, you know, made aware of within like the last year or two, that this is a biochemical situation that can be corrected through medication and diet and many other things. There's a bunch of contributing factors.
Yeah,
that can correct it. But when you view it under that lens, it does make it that much more palpable to understand that we're not talking about broken people. Also, that there are different things that can happen to cause it and that are reversible, that you can have a normal, quote unquote, normal life dealing with whatever illness or ailment that you're dealing with. But prior to that, it was just this person has snapped. Terms like that, like snapped, broken, it's over. This has been the turning point. This was a critical time in their life, and the trajectory just changed. And there's nothing we can do about it because the time, it is almost a lot more physical the way it was described before. So like the time period in which this person's behavior changed, whatever happened at that time would need to be recreated, and we would have to examine what were the determining factors in that moment.
Yeah.
In order to reverse this. Like, the way it was viewed was like, it was almost like a superhero origin story or supervillain origin story.
Yeah.
And this person drank this chemical and then they fell down and they got struck by lightning. We have to redo all of that to reverse what happened to them.
And that's not fair to the individuals, right?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. If we can't talk about diabetes in those terms or heart attack in those terms, then we shouldn't be talking about mental illness in those terms either, right? So,
right.
Yeah.
So I hear people talk about mental health, but they also say behavioral health. What's the difference?
I like that question. So behavioral health is the all-encompassing term that covers everything, right? From substance use disorders to, you know, to gambling, to addiction. It covers everything. Mental health is just a portion of that.
Okay.
So it's something to, it's like the big umbrella. It's like, a DJ Ambush is a human being, but not all human beings are DJ Ambush.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Or to say it differently, Black folks are human beings, but not all human beings are Black folks, right?
Understood. Yeah. So there. Okay. That just whittled it down a little bit. So there has been a rise in suicide rates. I'm hearing as a result of, you know, the pandemic. And it's, I want to be clear that the pandemic isn't the end all be all to everything that society is experiencing right now.
Yeah.
It's a huge factor, of course, but there are things that are happening, you know, economically, socially, there's a bunch of contributing factors, that can relate to the different changes we're experiencing as a society. But so suicide rates have been going up, especially within the Black community. Do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, so we know that suicides are more common in males than completion rate is more common in males than in females. Traditionally, white males have had a higher suicide rate and higher completion rate than any other group. It's actually very, very simple, right? We know why that is. Guns are available, and if you're going to use a gun, you're more likely to be successful. And so this is why it's important for us to talk openly about gun violence, right? That we have a bigger gun violence problem in mental health than we like to admit, and we have to be honest about this. I'm not saying anyone's guns should be taken away. All I'm saying is we have to speak openly and honestly about the gun issue and the gun problems that we have in society. And that's just one of the things that people use when they complete suicide. So some things that are very important to pay attention to is when people start withdrawing, when people start experiencing the medical term in medicine is anhedonia. When they experience, it's very specific to depression and can often be seen in severe depression. So just paying attention, and that term simply means people start not experiencing or finding pleasure in the things that they used to find pleasurable. And they almost always start withdrawing. So family members, friends, pay attention to those things. And if there's any way you can support folks, and I think the best way to do that is just listening, right? Just lend an ear to somebody. And you don't have to have the answers. You don't have to have any solution. Just listening is by far the most important thing. There are a lot of resources available for suicide prevention. There's a suicide prevention a national number. There's a suicide prevention, the crisis line here in Oregon. There are several crisis centers in Portland. Cascadia has a, Cascadia Behavioral Health has a an urgent walk-in clinic where you can show up regardless of your insurance. You can just show up and get services if you're in crisis, if you have an urgent behavioral health issue. There are other crisis centers in the state. You can always show up to any ER, and they're obligated to treat you as well, regardless of your insurance or non-insurance. So important thing is, if you know someone experiencing depression, severe depression, or they're contemplating suicide, listen, just be there to listen to them. Just be there to support them.
Thank you for mentioning the ER as an option. I don't think a lot of people knew that. No, I didn't realize that the ER would be an option for someone that may be exhibiting thoughts of suicide. And yes, there are many different places people can go to get help with helping a family member cope. There is Therapy for Black Girls. There is National Alliance on Mental Health. There's a youth line for teen crisis, Lines for Life. We'll have all of those links and all of that information in the description for this particular episode. We are still in National Minority Health Month. So, you know, we always want to make sure we're focusing on the different things that can be available to our community, whether it's hotlines, whether that's websites, whether there's in-person events. The idea of this podcast and not just this month being highlighted, but this podcast is to speak to the issues that directly affect the Black and Brown community here in Portland, Oregon. And I'm sure a lot of these issues, a great deal of these issues, are shared nationwide. Are there any closing thoughts you'd like to leave with our audience this time?
So, this is always at the forefront of my brain, and we talked about it real briefly at the beginning, right? That as humans, we are relational. We are relational beings. And so it's important for us to find that community, right? It's important for us to be in that community, whatever community it is. You know, I for one, really enjoy hiking, really enjoy snowshoeing. So I have my hiking and snowshoeing community. Unfortunately, I haven't been participating in a lot of this during the pandemic, but find other communities. I also like enjoy reading. So I've been part of book clubs where I'm participating, reading books and sharing ideas with others. If you're into cards, you know, find a card community. If you are into whatever it is, cars, find a car community, or knitting. I was talking to somebody earlier who was talking about their wellness activity is knitting. So they knit that rejuvenates them, that recharges them. So whatever you do, one thing that I love doing, I love going to the gym. Mm. That's my community that actually kept me sane during this pandemic, because I continued, you know, I was continuing to work out and it's, the age range goes from teenagers to people in their 90s.
Right.
And we, you know, if someone doesn't show up, there's someone else checking in to see if what's going on with them. So all that to say is I'll send us off with this idea that, you know, take care of yourself. And if you can, please, please, please take care of somebody else. That goes a long way.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode. Remember, we are here for you. Play back any of the old episodes. Look at those subjects there. See if there's, treat it like a catalog. Treat it like a library of information that's available to you. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.